My dear friends, today is the third Sunday of Lent. The epistle for the Mass today is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Brethren, be followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God, for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not so much as be named among you, as becometh saints, nor obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose, but rather giving of thanks. For know ye this, and understand, that no fornicator, nor unclean, nor covetous person, which is a serving of idols, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be you not therefore partakers with them. For you were heretofore in darkness, but now at light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of light is in all goodness and justice and truth. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 11. At that time Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. But some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others tempting asked of him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and house upon house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I by the finger of God cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusted, and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest. And not finding, he saith, I will return into my house once I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and entering in they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. Thus far are the words of today's Holy Gospel. Behold, a faithful servant whom the Lord hath set over his household. These words are taken from the office for the feast of St. Joseph, March 19th. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, a little over 200 years ago, there occurred a rather remarkable event in the life of a little American girl. Her name was Frances Allen, and she was none other than the daughter of Ethan Allen, the great American patriot and the hero of the Battle of Fort Ticonderoga. Ethan Allen himself was not a religious man, and thus, unfortunately, he neglected the religious instruction of his daughter. Now, one day when Frances was a little girl, she was walking in the woods somewhere near her family's home in the state of Vermont. She was some distance from home when the sky began to grow dark and thunder sounded in the distance. She wasn't concerned, as she had often been caught in storms before. And so rather than running for home immediately, she continued her walk along the edge of a small river. Soon the storm rolled in and a heavy rain began to fall. The small river began to swell up over its banks. And it was at this moment that the remarkable event took place, as she herself testified. The river suddenly began to churn violently, as though stirred from beneath. A large, ugly creature broke through the surface and began to pull itself up the bank towards Frances, as though to attack her. In later years, Frances could only describe this creature as a monster. To add to the terror of the little girl, she found that she was unable to move. She couldn't run, and she couldn't even cry for help. She could only stand there, held by some invisible force, as the monster drew nearer and nearer. Suddenly she felt a strong but gentle hand on her arm, drawing her away from the river. Standing behind her was a man dressed in plain brown robes and holding a staff in his hand. He had a very kind face, and he asked Frances calmly, "Little girl, what are you doing here?" Then he gave her a one-word command, "Run." Frances suddenly found that she could move again. She ran from the riverbank as fast as she could, and she only stopped when she was a safe distance from the water's edge. Turning to look back, she saw that there was no sign of the brown-robed man anywhere. She then ran all the way back to her home, where she sobbed out the whole story to her mother. And at first, her mother didn't know what to think. The story sounded incredible, but at the same time, there was such fear and sincerity in her daughter's voice and appearance that finally the mother decided there must have been something supernatural about the event. The family sent out servants to look for Francis's rescuer, but no trace of him or the monster could be found. And what's even more remarkable about this story is what took place about 10 years later. As I mentioned, neither Frances nor her parents were religious. But to complete her education, Frances spent some years under the care of Catholic nuns in Canada. Due to their good influence and God's grace, Frances converted to the Catholic faith. And eventually she realized that God was calling her to the religious life. For some time, Frances was unable to decide as to which religious order she should join. She visited numerous convents in Canada, seeking some sign of God's will for her. Then one day, about the year 1810, Frances Allen visited a convent of the Sisters of St. Joseph. Upon entering the Sisters' chapel, she was immediately startled by the picture hanging over the altar. It was a large and beautiful painting of St. Joseph. Of course, since her conversion, she had seen many pictures and statues depicting the foster father of our Lord. But this particular portrayal of St. Joseph took her back to her childhood, to an event she had tried to forget, when, standing on the riverbank, she was unable to run from the creature about to devour her. There could be no question that the man in the picture was the man who had taken hold of her and pulled her back from the river. Frances took this as a sign from God that she was to be a sister of St. Joseph. And for the remainder of her life, she was a model religious and an example to the other sisters of every virtue. My dear faithful, during our Lord's earthly life, there was no one to whom he was closer, with the exception of Our Lady, than St. Joseph. In the office for the Feast of St. Joseph, the Church refers to this great saint as the faithful and wise servant whom the Lord hath set over his household. St. Joseph was the head of the Holy Family. He was the man chosen from all eternity to provide and care for the Son of God made man and his mother. This office of St. Joseph was full of hardships. It entailed great sufferings, and it required great patience and courage. For example, St. Joseph had to suffer the trial of doubt and confusion when he found Mary to be with child. As St. Thomas Aquinas explains, he didn't doubt her virtue, but he realized that there was some great mystery present which he couldn't comprehend. Thinking himself to be unworthy to participate in this mystery, St. Joseph resolved to give up his greatest treasure and to put Our Lady away privately. Of course, God put his fears to rest and assured him that not only had the divine child been conceived by the Holy Ghost, but that it was God's will that Joseph be the guardian and foster father of this child. Another great trial that St. Joseph had to suffer was the flight into Egypt soon after the birth of our Lord. He had to save the Christ child from the wrath of King Herod, as well as find a way to provide for his family in a foreign land. After years of living in Egypt, he was told by an angel to take our Lord and Our Lady and return to Galilee. There he would spend the rest of his life working hard every day as a carpenter to provide for them. Then there was the loss of the child Jesus in the temple. St. Joseph felt this sorrow as well as Our Lady. Upon finding Our Lord in the temple, Our Lady said to the Christ child, "Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." Thus one author says that if Mary is the mother of sorrows, St. Joseph is the father of sorrows. Yet despite these and many more sufferings, the consolations of St. Joseph were infinitely greater. He was granted the grace to live in the presence of Jesus and Mary, to enjoy with them the peace and joy of Nazareth, where he received 1,000 marks of love and affection from the Son of God himself. And at the moment of his death, he had by his side our Lord and our Lady to comfort and assist him, the type of death which we should all pray for. And now, St. Joseph reigns gloriously in heaven beside the thrones of the King and the Queen. My dear faithful, Pope Leo XIII teaches in his encyclical Quamquam Plures that the holiness and dignity as foster father of our Lord, in holiness and dignity, St. Joseph is second only to Our Lady. And in consideration of his great holiness and dignity, Pope Pius IX in 1870 declared St. Joseph to be the patron of the universal church. And St. Thomas Aquinas explains why it is that St. Joseph should be our special patron. Why it is that not only the church invokes him as patron, but we should too. St. Thomas says, "Some saints are privileged to help us in certain needs, but not in others. However, our holy patron, Saint Joseph, has the power to assist us in all cases, in every necessity, and in every undertaking. Thus, he is our special and personal patron, and we should have great confidence in the power of his assistance in all our needs, but especially in times of temptation. In fact, in the Litany of Saint Joseph, we call upon him as the terror of demons. For there is no one whom the devil fears more after Our Lady than Saint Joseph. My dear friends, sometimes we are like Francis Allen, standing on the riverbank. The world, the flesh, and the devil stir up the monster of temptation. And without God's grace, we cannot run from it or fight it. But we do have a protector, someone whom God has given us to call upon. As St. Thomas says, St. Joseph has the power to assist us in all cases, in every necessity, and in every undertaking. This month, and especially these last few days leading up to the feast of St. Joseph on Thursday, try to grow closer to St. Joseph by calling on him more often, especially in times of temptation, for he will obtain for you the grace to resist and to flee from sin. Pray his litany and ask him to protect you and your families. And finally, beg him every day to be with you at the hour of your death, since he knows what it is to die well in the friendship of Jesus and Mary. Remember that after Our Lady, there is no one whom our Lord loves more than Saint Joseph. He could no more refuse Saint Joseph something than he could our Blessed Mother. Have confidence then in Saint Joseph's power and go to him in all your needs. And I just would like to close with the words of Saint Teresa of Avila, who herself had a great devotion to Saint Joseph. "I know by my own experience," she says, "that this glorious saint assists us in all kinds of necessities. I only request, for the love of God," she continues, "that whoever will not believe me, test the truth of what I say. For he will see by experience how great a blessing it is to recommend oneself to this glorious patriarch." And finally, she concludes, "Whoever wants a master and a guide, let him choose Saint Joseph, and he will not lose his way." God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.